Hello and welcome back to another episode of the CrossFit Harrow podcast. I think today is episode 12. I'm losing track with it all. And actually, it took me a couple of days to come up with the content and what I wanted to speak about this week. I usually, you know, quite quick off the mark and knowing what I want to talk about. But actually, if you have been tuning in, there's been a bit of a theme, and one of the things tonight's topic. I say tonight because another late long day of teaching and working, which means that I'm recording this very late at 10:30. So if you're listening to this. Know that a lot of energy has gone in, a lot of thought, so no half measures. I want to talk to you about the four pillars, in my opinion, of the four pillars of health, right? Or training, let's say, because I think there's a slight obsession, and we're out of sync. So for me, again, my opinion, and if you know me and you've been listening to me, you know that I won't talk shit. I'll tell you how it is. I think that we've got it all wrong, as in, like, the industry's narrative is very, very wrong. The four pillars of fitness or health, whichever one you want to put together. I mean, there's a slight variation in terms of definition, but fitness, nutrition, recovery, and balance. And in terms of the order, I think it's very hard to put them in an order. But don't look at them as pillars. That are like a hierarchy. Look at them as actually pillars that are holding up your, put it this way, where I said earlier health, actually scrap the health, put it as that this pillar, these four pillars are holding up your health, and that health is the pinnacle of your triangle, that these four pillars are holding that health up. And within all three, four, fitness, nutrition, recovery, and balance, you need three things. And I've spoke about this before, for those of you who have heard a similar topic, is consistency, accuracy, and flexibility. And I think it is a Venn diagram where I got confused last time. I think it still is a Venn diagram, but you need a Venn diagram of those three things. And you need that little intersection. I think it's a Venn diagram. I'm probably going to embarrass myself here. I'm going to have to Google this, actually. But you need all those three things, that little bit in the middle of, yeah, it is a Venn diagram. All those intersections of consistency, accuracy, and flexibility, you need a little bit of all of it. Because if you're too consistent, actually, that's the wrong example to use, because you want the consistency. But if you're too accurate in what you're trying to achieve, whatever fitness, life, whatever, you're going to be a little bit inflexible, right? And that's probably not going to allow you to have the consistency that you want. If you're very flexible in your approach, you're not going to be as accurate. And again, consistency is going to play a, or lack of, is going to play a part. But if you can remain consistent, have a snippet of consistency, have a semi-level of accuracy and a semi-level of flexibility, you're actually on your way to a very strong, to having four very strong pillars of fitness, nutrition, recovery, and balance. Now, there are going to be variables in those week to week. So fitness, I think a lot of us invest a lot of time, effort, and money into our fitness. And you know, for me, I actually think it only plays a part of like 20% of into our health. I actually think the other things are more important, because the term that I've used, recovery, as one of these pillars, is a bit of a loose term, because that does, well, other things come underneath that, right? So sleep, stress, etc. Now, going back to fitness, how much effort and how much time do we put into training? Some of us put like 5, 6, 7, 8 hours plus a week into training. When, if our goal is to be healthy and fit, right? So these four pillars supporting our health, then really we don't really need to give more than 3, 4 hours a week of that. And we need a balance of that and our own personal lives and relationships with our partners and relationships with other people and relationship, good relationship with food, and that nutrition comes into it. But we also need a good balance of recovery. The fitness part I could talk about forever, but I feel like you all do that. You just tick that box. It's so easy to hit that, because you just do it you just do it like with it's autonomous. You do it without thinking. The other, I mean, there's a lot of caveats to recovery, but you also have to include mobility into that. And that's for later, well, not just for later on in life, but now. But I'll go in order. So fitness, as I said, talk about it forever, but you do a very good job of that. You show levels of commitment to training. You're doing that week in, week out. But there gets a point where maybe for some of you, nothing changes because I think your other pillars are out of sync. They're a lot shorter and they're not holding up that health. So nutrition plays a huge role. Now, at the moment, for me, that's been the thing that I've worked on, or I'm working on now, right now, in this recording and in these last few weeks, probably since I've started these podcasts, as in season three. It is my nutrition. My nutrition, I have to say, is generally pretty good. I have a very balanced diet, but I do have, you know, the sweet tooth, and I do sometimes just completely go off the rails where anything like comes my way, I wanna shove it down my mouth. So, and that includes alcohol, like, you know, red wine. I don't think I've drank as much as I have than when I was in my late or my 20s. I've drunk more now in my 30s than I have ever in my 20s. And I just, red wine is one of those things that I love trying different red wines. I love Italian red wine. If I get a chance to have it, generally I will. But anyway, my point in getting at that, for me, I'm managing a situation, right? Working hours are longer than normal. And the one thing that has been the staple at the moment for me, as well as topping up fitness, because I have had slack on that for me personally, where I've had a long time out of it, I've made sure that I'm fueled in the right way, because then I can perform optimally for when I work, and for when I train and you know improve fitness. So for me, it works that I have four meals throughout the day, and I spread them apart: breakfast, lunch. I wouldn't even say snack; it's just lunch too, and then dinner. But I notice if I don't have those prepared, I make errors. I am more vulnerable to wanting sugar. I have less energy. I find it harder to be motivated. And this is coming from someone who has done this for the best part of 15 years, something like that, where it's been a big part of my life of nutrition. Sometimes I have, you know, I use Facebook occasionally, and I will go onto like memories, and it will show me where, like, I would post back in like 10 years ago, 23, 10 years ago, and even sooner than that, posting like I had two Bassa fillets from Morrison that were slightly covered in a little bit of lightly dusted breadcrumbs. I'd have a bowl of salad. I would have avocado, tomato, you know, veg, and, you know, getting that protein, getting that carb, getting those fats in. There'd be some rice, etc. And, you know, it comes up sometimes having gone to Morrison's at the time, you know, doing a weekly food shop of 70, 80 pounds. That's for one person, getting that food in, going to Costco, buying the meat in bulk, etc. And so I've done that for a long time. And I noticed that if I don't organize my foods now, I'm fucked, basically, to lay it out to you. I'm just fucked. I don't make good decisions in terms of thinking, like, you know, business decisions. I'm almost like lagging. I feel like I need that boost. And, you know, if you respond by having sugar, yes, a quick fix, but at what expense? You know, sinking out those hormones. If you can give your body good food consistently, semi-accurate, and being pretty flexible, then why not? You know, I would say that there's still, let's say, elements of chocolate in my day-to-day eating. At the moment, I've come away from alcohol just because of working hours, and I feel like I slow down a little bit because I don't know when to stop. So in that sense, I'm still working on being a better me of all or nothing. But you know, whether you look at rice, pastas, breads, all those things as bad foods, they're not. They're great. You know, there's still elements of granola Which has, you know, obviously some limited sugars, or some artificial sugars, which I try to make them limited. But that's all in that sense accurate, because that's portioned out to what I need. It's not just a fucking big scoop put in the bowl. But they're used loosely. They're used as emergency food. So I have what I have day to day, and I have emergency foods for if, for example, a day carries me over consistently, the sleep time and wake up time, and I might, you know, snooze for an extra 5 minutes, or I go to bed a little bit later, and I've got back, and partner hasn't, you know, got, she's not back from work, and she's been really great. She's been helping me with food and stuff. But if she's not able to do it, then you just need emergency foods like plan Bs in case things go wrong. And they're the foods I use loosely, things like granola, etc. But, you know, at the end of the day, you could eat worse things. The next pillar that so hold on, before I go on to the next pillar. So you really want to sort out and think about how much nutrition can support your fitness, and actually forget fitness, your health, right? And like, stop. I mean, you may or may not, but stop thinking it as like the word diet. It's your day-to-day eating. It's what you need to do. Hopefully you live a long and prosperous life, and you need to do this for as long as you live. And you need good nutrients. You need dense food. You need good foods that are going to fuel your body, get you from A to B, and allow you to do B and C and D and everything else repeatedly, sorry. But on top of that is recovery, sleep, stress, mobility. They're those things. Without fail, for me, every morning post waking up, I stretch 20 minutes every day, Monday through to Sunday. Even on the days that on the day that I go to Pilates once a week to manage an old, obviously the injury that you guys have followed that journey on, I've spoken about before, to manage that, to make sure that I'm still working towards being more supple as I'm older. Without fail. But I noticed that if I haven't got the nutrition in place and I haven't got fitness in place, my recovery, let's say, my sleep is shit, my stress levels are high, and there are times where I will go through where maybe I actually aren't, I don't do that mobility. But it's not often that I do that. And I want you to think of, if you're training so hard, right? And especially if you're in the CrossFit space, because it doesn't apply to everyone. Well, it does, but the mobility part of it. Yes, while it's important to keep supple, you're not going to need certain ranges of motion if you're someone that uses machines, or you do maybe body weight things. Although it's important, it's not going to be prioritized for you because you're not finding new positions. However, if you're someone in the CrossFit space that has limited shoulder mobility, has limited thoracic mobility, has limited hip mobility, even to go even into your ankles and calves, you're going to need to do that to help your fitness pillar and your health pillar. Because if you know, it doesn't take a genius to work out that if you absolutely fuck it off for the best part of 20, 25 years, you become immobile. Look at people who in your, you know, family, extended family, people that are, you know, that you see day to day, and how much they neglected mobility. You have to ask yourself that question of, you know, if they're still self-independent, or if they're not, or if they need support. Do you want to live a life as you're older where you're not able to do X, Y, and Z? Surely it must be make sense to be want to be able to do the things that you're doing now, but just older, right? Fine. You might not do as heavy weight, you might not run as fast, you might not move as fast. If you're in the CrossFit space, it might not be for time or ammo, but you just move, right? Stress is a hard one to manage, and that obviously comes from work. It's everyone has their own ways of managing stress. For some people, it's the gym. For some people, it's smoking. For some people, it's alcohol. For some people, it's whatever, watching TV or sitting, listening to music, going out for a car drive. People manage stress in different ways. But that whole recovery pillar, even through sleep, you know, you have to set that routine. I mean, it's getting on a little bit now in terms of for me, but I know that I've got 30 minutes till I hit, you know, I need to absolutely hit the pillow. Otherwise, it is going to affect me tomorrow. And I went through a time where I had inconsistent sleep times and wake up times, and it was the worst I've ever felt. And the one thing that I say, the one thing, this is all progressive because fitness has always been a staple in my life, nutrition has been a staple in my life. Sleep is now being prioritized and becoming more of a staple in my life, where I'm in a position where I'm able to get the same sleep and wake up times most days, if not all. And you need to do that. I think for some people, it's a case of like, you know, I'll just go to bed when my body feels like. And whilst that's right, I mean, if you've ever tried it, going to sleep when your body feels like it and waking up, to be honest, it is great. But you got work to. I remember holidays and stuff been on, sometimes not getting up till like 9, 10 o'clock, but it's because your just body's just shut down and needing that rest. But for some of us, we can work on 7, 8 hours, for others, 6. You know, don't listen to these bullshitters and bollocks people that say, I need 4 hours sleep, and if you don't get up at this time and meditate, you're going to be shit and not successful. If you're listening to that shit, you need a wake up call. And if you're measuring yourself against them, you need to bang your head against the wall and fucking wake up. Because getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning and jumping into an ice bath and fucking meditating for 10 minutes before you do anything, and it's not for everyone. And that doesn't mean that you're not successful. Things are done very, very different ways. You know, there is absolute bullshit that people do those things. There's some truth in it. Some people do, absolutely. But everything's an exchange, right? A sacrifice. You want to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning. You're probably not going to be awake. Recovery pillar. How much are you giving your body a chance to rest? So if you're training and you're not able to like slow down and stop and go, actually, I don't need to do 6 days this week. Like, your body can only adapt to training when it's rested. It can't adapt to exercise as it's exercising. It just doesn't work. It rests. It changes when it rests. So you need to fucking rest and not go mad, basically. Now, the last pillar is balance, because you need a balance of all of it, right? Now, this is where I said about if you're about an exchange, you know, and it's almost a bit transactional in a way, because if you go too full on like mobility, stress, sleep, or nutrition and fitness, you become obsessed with it, right? And there's going to be people say, oh, you know, you have to be obsessed with something to achieve your goal. Like, no, you don't. You just have to set fucking realistic goals. And look, the people that say you have to be obsessed to do this and you have to do that, they are one in a lifetime people. I think I spoke to you about this before. They're your lifetime innovators, you know. They're people that want to make a big impact on the world in something they have. And I think the biggest examples are, you know, Musk, Elon Musk, and Jeff Bezos. I'm Steve Jobs. You're not going to get loads and loads of them in a generation in fruit throughout life. Like, you'll see one or two of those. You're not going to see them all. The people that say you've got to be obsessed, they're just like, it's short lived. It doesn't. You have to be absolutely focused on what you want to achieve. But becoming obsessed, you compromise on so many other areas of your life, and you miss opportunities because your one goal is blindfolded or is blinded because of this obsession. You just have to work smart, and I think it's important of having set specific smart goals in order to have the things that you want, or even to be able to have the balance. And I think it goes of working, you know, working backwards. If you want to have a goal of, you want to feel a certain way about your body, or you want to have a certain body composition, or, you know, I'm going to use nutrition. Well, I mean, it does get used quite often, but you're going to have to work backwards. You're going to find out, you know, where it is that you want to be and work backwards from that. So what is your day going to look like? If you're not at home for that day, that then means that you have to prepare the night before. As an example, you know that the night before you get into work late. Right, so you're going to need support from partner, you're going to need support from family member to make that happen. You're going to have strategies that if you get home work late, and easy foods that you can bring with you or pick with you, that are is going to support and fuel your day. You might make extra portions 2 days before that in order for that to happen. But you have to, you can't just wake up and think, oh, I'm going to do this today and start it that way. Like you have to be realistic in the approach that if you can juggle and balance that, then everything else is gonna fall into place. You don't have to be obsessed. You have to enjoy something. Obsession, not good. They're you know, for people, I think the word obsession comes from those people who want to make the biggest capital gain on whatever it is that they're trying to sell. Because you can be disciplined and have the vision of the goal you want to achieve. You don't necessarily have to be obsessed to achieve it. Now, it might shoot me in the foot because there's probably somewhere saying that, you know, you loosely using that term of becoming or being obsessed, but you need to be direct. You need to have a clear, exact plan of what it is that you want. But that has to have a balance of all the other things. If you're obsessed and you have no balance of what, you know, in this scenario, fitness, nutrition, recovery, then something's got to give. And that might mean that you might not have the best health because your pillars are not supporting your pyramid at the top. So to summarize, or for you to take something away, is out of 10, like, be completely brutally honest, write out fitness, nutrition, recovery and balance, and write out of 10 what you'd score yourself, 1 being absolutely dog shit and 10 being you've got it all in order. What is your balance like of fitness? What is your balance like of nutrition? What is your balance of recovery? What is your balance of all of those things together? Are you someone that Monday to Friday eats well and has great nutrition, trains Saturday and Sunday, stuffs the faces and fucking eats more than they would in the whole week? Are you someone that prepares all their food Monday to Sunday and has no give on the fact that you cannot have anything away from what you're deemed that you're supposed to have? At the end of the day, they are numbers and they can be adjusted to help support. So, you know, for example, it's looking at quantity of whatever it is that you're eating. So if you reduce it in a meal, you could reduce the quantity of something to allow yourself for something else. If you were to have 1 chocolate square or 2 chocolate squares a day, as an example, rather than a whole bar every fucking night, I've been there, trust me, it feels great at the time, but not when you're sitting there with a derby hanging over your fucking pants. Then you've got to do the things that are balanced, right? It's balance, it's consistency, it's being semi-accurate, it's being semi-flexible. You can't be too flexible, you can't be too accurate, but you can't be consistently inconsistent. If you think about things that we've said, or I've said rather, because it's me talking, then I think that it will go a long way. And I think that you can make a big impact in the way that you approach everything that you do, not just your health. It can be work. You can use all, you can find 4 pillars that relate to your work life. And how well balanced are they in order for you to have the biggest output of that? Ultimately, the decision is yours. It's whatever that you want to get out of whatever it is that you want and how you think you're going to get there. But if you're not getting there and it's been a long time since you're getting there, well, then it's a good opportunity to talk to someone to help you get there. And it's also good to just have conversations because that will get a different way of thinking. If you always do the same things, you'll expect the same result. So it's good to talk. It's good to have other people's ideas. It's good to let, you know, have that creative freedom. But I am going to wrap it up. And there's obviously variables, as I mentioned the previous week to week, you know, work is a little bit longer. There's incidents that happen, whether it be work and your personal lives, etc. But if you can keep those 4 pillars stable, balanced and consistent, then you're in for a winner. See you next week.